Welcome to our Sunday night Bible service. We are happy to have you in person and online, and we are glad that you have decided to join us. We're going to sing a couple of songs, and then we'll be led in prayer. And our first song is In Need.
In need of grace, in need of love, in need
Before prayer, we're going to sing one verse of Sweet Hour of Prayer. And this song is about how our petitions make it to His throne.
Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Before we go to God in prayer, I'd like to ask that we think about people that cannot come to services like we do. Think about Christians in maybe parts of Pakistan or Afghanistan. I've been praying now for several weeks for several individuals in these various countries and others. Their names are not given to me, they're just Bible names that are given, but some of them are on Zoom classes and things like that in Afghanistan, as I understand. But just sort of think about that. But as we go to God in prayer today or other times that you may pray, bow with me in prayer. Father, be grateful for the opportunities we have to worship Thee. Thankful, Father, for our Bible study on Sunday morning, our worship service, and our service tonight, and our classes and service on Wednesday evening, the various ladies' classes and other classes that are conducted from time to time. Grateful, Father, also for our Hispanic ministry, and for these folks that can be together and hopefully study in their own language, Spanish. Thank you, Father, for, again, just the opportunities we have to worship, as I say, and realize, of course, there are many that, for fear of persecution, have difficulties coming together to worship, perhaps also family difficulties in dealing with these things. Thank you, Father, for those that are here that proclaim your will and teaching your will, for those that teach our various classes, for their dedication and being involved in teaching from quarter to quarter. Thank you, Father, for Tim and Tim Haywood and Josh and Greg, and ask that you be with Greg tonight as he presents a lesson to us. Father, we're certainly mindful at various times of many in the congregation that are dealing with health issues, and certainly some that are dealing with the loss of loved ones. Certainly just ask that you be with us as we think about these various individuals. We certainly pray that most can recover from the various maladies that they're dealing with, but realize, of course, that some, it's in your hands, whether they live or not at this particular point. Father, again, thank you for the diversity of talents and abilities that exist within this congregation and in many congregations of the Lord's church. Father, we just ask that you be with us as we reach out and find ways to communicate with neighbors and friends, perhaps relatives, who may not be New Testament Christians. Realize it's sometimes difficult to find the words to express to someone about Thee, but help us to find a way if we can. Grateful, Father, for those that maybe were not brought up in families where they were members of the Lord's church and yet were taught your will. And just grateful, Father, for their faithfulness and their commitment. Continue to bless us, Father, as we continue in our service. We're thankful, Father, for Steve and his abilities to lead singing, for, again, others that can lead singing and participate in other ways in our service. Be with us as we think about those in need and the various bags of food that are being prepared for Thanksgiving. Thankful, Father, for the work that was done earlier as far as bags of items for those that were homeless. Certainly mindful, as I work and others work in the pantry, for the help there in the past week or so, and realize that the needs are great there as many come. Help us, though, just to find ways of teaching these folks your will, if we can. But thank you, Father, for prayer. Continue to bless us and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Based on Tim's message this morning, I thought that this was a very appropriate song to sing, that Jesus' book, the Bible, God's record, provides us with light.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel
As I was coming in this morning, Jim Bob welcomed me with, "There's the guy that sings." And I like to sing, so I thought we'd sing a song about God giving us a song.
He took my burdens all away up to a rider.
Invitation song is 922 if you are opening and marking a book. 922. At this time, we'll have our scripture reading, and then Greg is going to speak to us from God's Word.
There is Bible story time tonight if you'd like to take your children out to that. Tonight's reading will be from Philippians 2, 3 through 8. Philippians 2, 3 through 8. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in the human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross.
All right, I'm going to try something. Welcome, church. Did I get it right, Poppy? All right. Thank you. I learned that and chocolate. I think this is chocolate, right? Okay. Two very important signs to me that I learned tonight, church and chocolate. So, man, I tell you what, it's been a great day for me. I hope it's been that for you as well. And I tell you, we've got a lot of really great things going on here at Central, don't we? We've got a really great group of people here. And as I was thinking about this wonderful group of people that we have, I wanted to talk with you tonight about what are we communicating to our community? Because we've got some great ministries going on. We've got a great foundation here set in Jesus Christ. We've got the truth. And so as we look to do good work, not to earn anything for salvation, but just because our God is so good, why and what are we communicating to our community? And that's some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. Now, about 15 years ago or so, time seems to get really long as I get older, so I don't know. I think it was about 15 years ago. But as I was talking with a gentleman that I worked with, as we were working on printers and computers and all that good stuff, he asked me a question that has stuck with me to this day. And that is, essentially, the idea the church can exist without the community, but can the community exist without the church? Put a different way, if Central were gone tomorrow, would anybody notice? And when he asked that question to me, it really hit me. Because I thought that was an excellent question. It's like, you know, if we were gone tomorrow, would the community be worse off than what they are right now because of what we bring to the table? So I've got a lot of excitement for these new ministries. We have a lot of awesome opportunities here at Central. And tonight, I just want to highlight a couple of those, as well as discuss your ministry, your personal ministry that you are engaged in every day, whether you realize it or not, and what we're communicating in those things. But there is a problem. There is a danger of either no communication or miscommunication. And this can happen in anything, right? So I want to give you an example, give you a quick story. And the story is about this old-fashioned lady. She liked to be very proper. And so as she was looking for a campground to go on vacation to, she had some questions about the facility, of course. But she had a very particular question about the toilets. But this old-fashioned lady, she didn't like to write the word toilet. And so she kept trying to think of, well, what can I call it and not sound so vulgar, right? And so she came up with the word, or the phrase, bathroom commode. And she starts to write her letter, you know, how is your bathroom commode? Do you have a bathroom commode available, etc.? But as she wrote the letter, she said, you know, this is still too vulgar. I don't want to come across as too improper. And so she takes a letter, she crumples it up, throws it away, and she said, the only solution is to shorten it, and I'm going to shorten it to BC. So do you have a BC? Where is the BC located? What's the BC like? Well, the campground manager got this letter, and he was very confused. He had no idea what BC meant. And so as he's rattling around in his brain, what does this mean? What does this mean? BC, what can she mean? It finally dawned on him. Oh, she means Baptist Church. And so he wrote her back. And here's a portion of that letter, if not the totality of it. He said, dear madam, I regret very much the delay in answering your letter, but I now take pleasure of informing in that the BC is located 9 miles north of the campsite and is capable of seating 250 people at one time. I admit it is quite a distance away if you're in the habit of going regularly, but no doubt you'll be pleased to know that a great number of people take their lunches along and they just make a whole day out of it. They usually arrive early and they stay late. The last time my wife and I went was 6 years ago, and it was so crowded we had to stand the whole time that we were there. It may interest you to know that right now there's a supper plan to raise money to buy even more seats. They plan to hold the supper in the middle of the BC so everyone gets to watch and talk about how great this event is. I would like to say it pains me very much not being able to go there more regularly, but it is surely not for lack of desire on my part. As we grow older, it seems to be more and more of an effort, particularly in cold weather. But if you decide to come down to the campground, perhaps I could go with you the first time you go. sit with you, and introduce you to all the other folk. They really are a friendly community. There's quite a danger in miscommunication, isn't there? And so we don't want to miscommunicate to our community what we're about. We want them to know what our primary message is and about how all the ministries that we have going on here, all the good people that we have here, and what we're communicating to our people in the community. And so, what message are we communicating? Well, the message, first and foremost, starts with Jesus. He is our Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end, of course. And we know that this world needs Jesus. Because without him, no one can be saved, right? But we have some new ministries that I wanted to highlight that are also communicating this message. One is our deaf ministry. With Chris and Poppy helping to lead that, and we're learning some awesome new words like church and chocolate and all the favorite words and some really good stuff. I also want to talk about the Shining Light ministry. And you might be saying, well, Greg, I've not heard of that one. Maybe you haven't. And that's great because it's coming up soon. And we're going to have more information on that, and I'm going to be giving kind of a little quick synopsis of what it's about. And then finally, I'm going to talk about you every day. What your message is that you're taking to this community, because you are a vital role in communicating the message of Jesus Christ in our community. So, our deaf ministry. I want to give some definitions to start us out. Deaf, when we're using the lowercase d deaf, refers to the physical condition relating to hearing. But when you see a capital D deaf, it refers to the community of people who are identified with the culture of deaf, who may or may not include people who have cochlear implants, hearing aids, varying degrees of hearing, codas, and sometimes interpreters. These two spellings serve to communicate huge differences within the deaf world. And so it's vital to understand these concepts. Now, some statistics. This report was compiled in 2017 in Tennessee. Hearing loss over the age of 18, 15.3% is the number that I found. Now, Poppy had given a number before, but it was lower than my number, so I want the higher number to prove my point. Just kidding. I have stats for you if you want the actual sources and all. But Washington County has about 136,000 people. So that means we have over 15,000 people with some form of hearing loss. Now, I don't know exactly to what degree that is. However, I also know that this is one that they have to reveal themselves. So it might even be higher than that. But if we think that 15.3% is low, and it's like, well, it's only 15%, that's not a very high percentage. I want you to think about the sheep that went astray or the sheep that needed help. Out of 100, how many needed the extra help from the shepherd? Just one. 1%. And so if Jesus says, I'm going to go after the 1%, any statistics that we talk about that are greater than 1% should be on our list of things to focus on, right? If there's even one person that we can help, it's worth it. So the story that I'm about to tell you comes from a book that Poppy wrote called Deaf in a City of Music. And as I've read it, there's been some stories that have hit me really hard. And this particular one is about a young man named Joey. And I'm going to summarize some of this. I'm going to read verbatim some of this. But it's a good book. This is about the first time that Poppy went to the police department, and it was for a young man who was scheduled for a plea hearing for his second DUI offense. This young man's name is Joey. And so Joey didn't know all that he could have available for him in terms of accommodations. And by her own admission, Poppy did not know what she was walking into. And so There was some miscommunication there at the beginning. There was some communication that was very interesting in the beginning that I'm not going to spoil too much. But to get to the part that I'm going to read, he says, Poppy says, I later learned that Joey was from a school for the deaf in the North. His signing accent sounded like what I imagined someone from the Bronx sounded like. Very low signs, slurred and heavy with attitude. I signed Southern, which was interesting to me. I didn't realize that there were potential accents. The judge sent him to call his father. And so there's this conversation where the father relays to Poppy that he wants nothing to do at this point to help his son. Should have learned the first time, didn't learn it, he's done, in so many words. But she could not bring herself to sign exactly what he said. Instead, she signed, he said that you're on your own and he's not coming. I couldn't bring myself to sign the actual conversation. That was a big interpreter error. But then again, I was not a real interpreter. I later learned that during Joey's growing up years, he experienced things like being locked in the back bedroom when company came to visit. Then, and I want you to hear this number, like 90% of hearing parents with deaf children, his dad never learned to sign. 90% of hearing parents never learned to sign. So I want you to think about that, and I want you to think about this. If you have a child that's in a situation where they have to be removed for foster, do you think that situation is going to be better or worse? It's going to be worse probably, isn't it? So think about the foster programs in this area, about the foster children. Think about the children that may have never really learned to sign themselves, and so by the time that they go into kindergarten, not only are they having to learn what everybody else is learning, but they're having to play catch-up, right? Because they don't have a foundation for communication the way that the other students do. But this is the paragraph that really got me. And this goes to show you what can happen when you make yourself available for God to use. Said, when Joey did get out of jail, he came to church. He stayed. He brought his girlfriend to sign language classes. She stayed. A few months later, I interpreted their wedding. That is God making changes through individuals that have said, here I am, send me. Deaf ministry is people-oriented ministry. It's about knowing people and knowing their culture. It can grow differently from other ministries, in that it's about long-term focus on relationships, and it can play an incredible support role for other ministries. Do we start to see how deaf ministry can support the other ministries, whether it's during worship, at a nursing home, for foster children, for prison ministry? And people that have never heard the gospel message can finally hear it in their own way of hearing. So what are we communicating? What are we communicating to our community when we learn the language as a neighbor down the street who may speak a different language than us? Well, we start to communicate a couple different things. We communicate that you can have a place here where you belong. We care about your soul enough to have you in this place, and we've tried to make it as accommodating as possible. 1 Corinthians 9:22. The scriptures say this. Paul says, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. That's what it's all about. Philippians 2, 3 through 8, that was read for us. Christ decides to humble himself. The God who lives up there decides to humble himself to come to live in the Middle East, not as some king or some authority figure, but born in a manger so that he could come to die for us. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God that has that level of humility. But this doesn't apply to just deaf ministry. Perhaps you're interested more in learning Spanish. Do we have awesome resources to learn Spanish with like Duolingo and just so many resources online? Yeah. There are so many opportunities to learn another language today that we may not have ever had before. This also applies to like speaking with teenagers. I feel like, Greg, they're their own language. I know. I work with them. And they are their own language. But it's really cool to see that when you start to understand the culture better and you start to understand the language, and it's not forcing yourself upon them with their language, but it's just being a part of their lives. Or what about people who have different interests than us? And you take the time to learn that interest so that you can have a conversation. That's what it's all about, making connections with people. And so how can you be involved? Well, first and foremost, you can pray for the deaf ministry. And you can encourage those who are involved with it. But let me give you some other ones. You can sign up for the class to learn. That's a pretty obvious one. But here's one that may not be so obvious. Perhaps there's someone who's interested in learning, but maybe they can't because they need childcare. Maybe they need a ride. And maybe you can be that person who helps meet that need so that they can go and learn. There's a lot of really good stuff being done in deaf ministry. But there's also some really wonderful things that are going to start to be done in Shining Light ministry. Let me give you some statistics. In Washington County, what would you guess to be the percentage of the population that is in poverty? Anyone want to take a guess? Anyone want to throw out a number? What is it? 50% in poverty in Washington County? 36? 42? The answer to everything? It's not 50. Thankfully, it's 14.3. But that's still a really high number, isn't it? Because when you start to think about it, that's still 19,400 people. That's a lot of people. But maybe, again, that number just seems kind of like, well, I don't really know what to do with that. What about this number? That would be equal to about 55 Central Churches of Christ. Is that a large number now? So, do you see a need in Washington County for legitimate aid? But what's been the problem? The problem has often been, well, how do we know, how do we distinguish who has legitimate need versus, you know, illegitimate need, right? Well, we can't help everybody. Well, I hear that. And so what if we had a way of knowing the families who had legitimate needs? Wouldn't that be great? Well, guess what? We can. Again, without going into too many details, because those might be discussed later, we know of some services in which we can find out who actually has legitimate needs in this area. We can get the names of those families, and we can help those people. Is that something you would be interested in doing? That's awesome, isn't it? And so, what does that look like? Well, again, more of it's going to be talked about later. More info's coming soon. But what it would look like is two of our families adopt a family that maybe can't give their family a Christmas. And so what we do is we meet those needs and we help those families. And it means that we go shopping for the families, we bring that material back here, We invite those people to our building, and we pray with them, we talk with them, we show them all the awesome things that we have here at Central. And then, as we're building that relationship, we load up their vehicle with the materials, and they go, and they have a wonderful Christmas knowing that Central has been there to help them. In this, what are we communicating? Matthew 15, 32. Jesus called his disciples to him and he said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and they have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. We are communicating that we want to have compassion on a people who are wandering. That as they're going through life, that we hear them, we see them, and we want to help meet and to help alleviate issues that they might have on a physical level. But inevitably, we're going to have two questions. But Greg, what if they don't convert? But Greg, what if someone who has hated Christianity came along and was just blessed by receiving her gifts? That means it was time wasted, right? It was finances wasted. Well, let's look over at Matthew chapter 5. Starting in verse 43. Jesus says this. He says, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You see, we're not doing this because we're expecting something in return. We're doing this because God is good, right? And whatever somebody else does with it, that's on them. But we're going to express the love of God regardless. So how can you be involved? Again, more details will come, but in bird's eye view, the idea is you can help to shop for those that have needs in our community. You can also financially donate to help others who are going shopping. You can pray for the families that will receive the gifts. And you can visit with them as they come in to receive the gifts. And so we've got our deaf ministry, we've got our shining light ministry, and now I want to talk about your ministry every day. How many people do you think you come into contact with on a regular basis? So some statistics that I found, there's no, you know, official stats out there for it, but in my research I found a number of 23 to 25 for the average person. Okay? Going to work, going to the store, that kind of thing. For me personally, I have my family, three others. My work, I teach 113 students, not every day. I probably average talking to at least 5 or 6 coworkers a day, the gift of gab, and so God has blessed me being able to do that. I have my Central family here. I've got Walmart. I've got driving, etc. I don't do as well with the interactions with driving, but I do pretty well with the other ones. And so for me, I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, man, that's a lot of people that I get to interact with, right? That's a lot of not just people, that's a lot of opportunities. And so, is the field white for harvest? Absolutely. Look at the opportunity that God has set before you. Acts 17, 26, Paul says that God establishes the boundaries of where people live. And so when you run into that person at Walmart, when you talk to that coworker, when you see that person on the street, that is not an accident. That is God saying, here, You have an opportunity to show them me. What if we start to look at life like that? That changes things a little bit, doesn't it? So some quick stories. You know the story of Jonah. We all know the story of Jonah. Here's a message from God, and he says, I'm gone. He says, I don't want to do it. I'm getting on a ship. I'm going as far away as I can. I'm going the opposite direction. Have you ever found yourself having that heart, your heart being pulled towards something, and yet you resist it? You know it's the right thing to do, but you resist it. I know I have. There's been times where I'm like, maybe I need to go talk to that person about Jesus. And I'm like, no, that's not really my job. Maybe that's God calling me to that. And maybe I decided to take the ship in the opposite direction. I've mentioned this before, I believe, but we had a rule at Walmart, and that was if you get within 10 feet of somebody, what are you supposed to do? Smile. As I've mentioned, it's very hard sometimes to find Walmart employees who still do that, but that was the rule that we had. We even had like a banner in the back of 10 feet, and this is what it's supposed to look like. And so I've tried to keep that up, and you will be amazed at just having a smile on your face, the kind of impact that can have on an individual. I've also found that moth and rust do destroy. Now, this does tie back in, but I wanted you to think about the fact that when we buy the things that we buy, they're not permanent. When I bought my Scion, my little box out there, I loved that car. And then one day, I went out and I noticed that the little side of it had like fallen off. I was like, what's going on? So I pulled the little side of it off, a little side skirt, and then I noticed there was like this rust on it. So I started pressing on it, and then it started just like crumbling. And I was like, oh no. I'm like, what's going on? And then it just kept crumbling the more I kept pressing on it. Now, I've had it fixed since then. I took it to a professional. They've made it better, and all that's probably better now than it has been in a long time. And so if you need to buy a Scion that's been repaired, I've got one for you that you can buy because I need to sell it to pay off my other car. But I found in that moment that moth and rust, they do destroy. And guess what? That's the kind of stuff that sometimes we make a whole big deal about, don't we? The stuff that moth and rust destroys. That's not the important part of your ministry. That's not your ministry. Your ministry is the things that are not temporary. They're permanent. They're spiritual things. Another part of this, I learned some wisdom on Friday from one of my students in my historical theology class. We were talking about dress. We were talking about 1 Timothy 2. And she said, you know, what really frustrates me is that girls, she's a girl, so I'm not putting words in her mouth. She said, girls know the way that they're dressing will affect guys a certain way, and they do it anyway. And that really frustrates me. We essentially came to the conclusion as a class that how you dress is important because of the message that it conveys. That's part of your ministry as well. How you represent Christ out there. The grass withers and the flowers fade. And so it's important as to what you're communicating. And so when you're communicating to your sons, your daughters, your nieces, your nephews, your grandkids, your friends, your coworkers, are you communicating about the things that are incredibly important, or are we just dabbling with the everyday stuff? There's a song by Casting Crowns, and this is just a part of the chorus. And he's talking about the difficulty that he has in getting into these conversations, these deeper conversations with his friends. And he says, because here I go again, talking about the rain and mulling over things that won't live past today. And as I dance around the truth, time is not his friend. This might be the last chance to tell him that you love him, but here I go again, here I go again, here I go again. Is it wrong to talk football? No. Is it wrong to talk baseball or basketball? Is it wrong to talk about the weather or cars or movies or anything like that? No. Those things are fun. Those things have been given to us by God to enjoy. But that's not our ministry. Our ministry is deeper than that. Because you have an impact. You can either be a good impact or a bad impact. But God is using you to be an impact. And he's calling you to represent his son. And so the question is, what will you communicate with your smile, your actions, your words? Because people are watching. And so let's wrap this up. We have awesome opportunities here at Central, don't we? We have an awesome group of people, and we get to use the opportunities here at Central to shine a light in this community. So let's embrace those opportunities. Let's maximize them. If you're not involved in a ministry, let's get together. Let's get you plugged in. I'd love to do that. Right? Because that's what it's all about. But maybe you've not embraced your everyday ministry. Maybe you've just been going through life and you've just been doing the everyday thing, but without the everyday God at the forefront of it. Well, let's fix that. Let's dedicate ourselves to making that one conversation a little bit more deep this week than it was last week. Let's have an aim to get to the spiritual components of life with people, because now is the time. People have questions about things that are going on in the world. Aren't those the things that are on people's minds? War in the Middle East, right? War with Ukraine and Russia. I've had multiple questions. Is this the end times that has been posed to me? People are asking those questions. Now's your time to bring light to a dark world. And so let's do that. Because the question that I asked earlier of, would the community miss us if we were gone tomorrow? I hope that they would miss you. I hope that if you were absent from your job tomorrow, or if you were absent from school, going into school tomorrow, I would hope that people would say, man, I wish so-and-so were here. They always bring a smile to the place. They always bring a little extra light. They always bring a happiness that we don't usually have on a Monday without them. That's what we're looking for here at Central. That's the kind of people that God is looking for. But it has to begin somewhere. And it begins with committing yourself to Christ. He's done it all for you. What he's asked for is a response. And so that's why we offer that now. If you have never become a Christian, now is the day to do it. Today is the day of salvation. And so will you take that first step to come down here? We'll talk with you, we'll discuss it with you, and then rid yourself of the sinfulness of life. Come to Jesus Christ and allow him to wash away those sins in baptism. If you're ready to take that first step, we're here for you. And if you need prayers from the congregation, we would love to pray with you to help you as we all look to shine a light in this community. Will you come as we stand and as we sing? Amanda came forward tonight asking for prayers, and I'm going to read you what she wrote. She said, "I often let anxiety cause a bad attitude. I want to ask for forgiveness for times when this leads me to wrong choices or to not treat others well. I'm trying to do better and give it to God." And that's really all that we can do. God is not out here looking for perfection, but he's looking for people who are striving for it. And that can only happen with his help. He's the one who makes it all possible. And I don't think that there's a single person in here who doesn't struggle with anxiety from time to time. And so we're going to pray for Amanda at this point, and I would ask that you pray along with me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We know that none of us are perfect, that only your Son is. But God, that's why your grace is so awesome. Because we know that you're looking for people who are trying. And Father, we know that Amanda is one of them. Father, we know as we've watched her heart, we appreciate the care and the love that she has for her family and for her friends. But Father, we also know that all of us from time to time are affected by anxiety. And oftentimes that anxiety will lead to wrong actions and how we treat others. And so, Father, we thank you for Amanda's plea tonight to work on that. And Father, we pray that you will help her with it. And as she's working with it, we pray that we will be gracious and merciful. And Father, we pray for her to have strength and a conscious effort as she works on this. And Father, we pray that you'll work on all of our hearts. I'm sure that there are some that needed to or wanted to come forward but just didn't. And Father, we know that there are always unspoken prayers. And so, Father, I pray that as a congregation that you will help each and every individual in this auditorium right now, those that are listening. Help us to be a better reflection of your Son today than we were yesterday. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
For the Lord's Supper, for this song, I'd like for us to do a slightly different approach than we normally would, because most of us took the Lord's Supper this morning, and our inclination is to sing it and not think about it as much as we might normally. So what I'd like for you to do is think of this song as a two-person song. It's you telling his story and you telling your story in response to what he has done for our benefit. Highly exalted. It is the story of the day he was crucified.
I did it for me. You were despised, you were rejected, one of those satisfied. Even the burden gazed from your side. Such was the suffering you bore for us. Then like a lamb to the slaughter, you spoke not a word.
just sang a song about the sacrifice that Christ made for us, for each of us individually. Words cannot express the true sacrifice that he went through. But in his sacrifice, he established a memorial feast that to think about his broken body and the blood he shed on the cross. I ask now that you bow with me as we partake of the bread. Father, thank you for that sacrifice that you've made on the cross. We thank you for this bread which represents your broken body. As we partake of it, may we do so in a manner well-pleasing to thee. In Christ's name, amen. Bow with me again. Father, we're thankful for the blood which covers our sins. Father, we know that the suffering you went through, we're so grateful for the sacrifice of your Son and for Christ and for all that he has done for us. Now as we partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents that blood, we ask that you be with us. In Christ's name, amen. We also find this a convenient time to give back as we've been prospered. Would you bow with me as we give thanks for the blessings? Father, we thank you for the blessings that each of us get. Father, we know we are a well-blessed people financially. Father, we live in riches. Father, now as we give back a portion of those riches that belong to you, Father, we ask that we do so in a manner well-pleasing to thee. In Christ's name, amen.
When the Hebrew children left Egypt, they didn't know where they were going and didn't know what was in front of them and had a lot of days that they were looking for morning. And it was dark, but they were led by a pillar of fire, and God will provide us light for the darkness we travel through. And this song is offering us hope.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes,
bow with me as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for the day that you've given us, for the time that we've had to fellowship and learn more about your word. Let's go about this week and focus on our individual ministries. Let our light shine, let your light shine through us to the others around us, and let us focus on our ministries and how that we can promote you in this world. Thank you for everything you do for us and forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name, amen. I've been given a couple of announcements. There's a lot in the bulletin. There's a lot in our daily focus. Remember those, such as Farmer Family tomorrow. Remember those. The announcements I was given tonight. Dennis Pierce, brother of Sonia Batchelder, and brother-in-law of Sherry Pierce, is scheduled to undergo hip replacement surgery Monday morning. Our prayers were requested. One of our members has a family member dealing with a difficult situation. They don't wish to reveal details, but ask our prayers for this person. Sympathy of the congregation is also extended to Corinne White upon the passing of her father, Junior Jones, this afternoon just after 3 o'clock. That's all I've got. You're dismissed.